This is Brandon Ellison. Got my good buddy, business partner, Mr. Casey Watkins with me. We're going to be going over a lot of great info for you today on, you know, getting business issued, kind of some pending issues, pushing issue rates to 90% and above. We've got a couple of agents, Casey, that have 90% and above issue rates. Jack Hahn's crazy, man. Guy's got 100% issue rate, been with us over 2 months now. Let's go ahead and kind of get into some product placement, some pending issues. You know, I think as an organization, it's always something that we're wanting to keep an eye on. Obviously, not just the number of submitted applications. I know when we go over leaderboards and when we go over when you get contract raises and that sort of thing, they're based on submitted numbers, but we're always looking at the net place numbers. A net place number really represents, in a given month, how much of the submitted numbers went to issue, and it's a net number because it also factors in how much of the business or how many policies that you've written in the past couple of months may have fallen off of the books. And that number we're not really seeing a whole lot of, obviously, but we're wanting to make sure that everyone has the education and the means of educating themselves, be it through the website or be it through the conference calls or the videos we have on the website, to go out and hit 90% issue rates. And that's a high number, and it's a lofty number, and I understand that. You know, we look at some numbers, Casey, and throughout the organization, and some people have terrible numbers. They're looking at 40 and 50% issue rates, and to me, there's nothing more frustrating than going out and putting all of the hard work in that you guys are doing on a daily basis and writing the applications and going through the no's and going through the no-shows. If I'm going to go through all of that work, I'm going to make sure that I put in the time to become a professional so that it actually gets approved, right? Because there's nothing more frustrating than going through the work and not getting paid. And that falls on everybody in the organization. I always like to remind everyone that your job is not just an insurance salesperson. It's more of a field underwriter. Okay, so part of the job is, yes, you got to get on the phone. You have to get in front of the people. You have to show them the options. But your real job is getting them into a product that's going to get approved. And a lot of that goes back to how much digging are you doing in the home? How much field underwriting are you doing? You know, just because a question is not on the application doesn't mean that someone won't get declined. We had a situation a couple of weeks ago, Casey, where there wasn't a question on the app that asked for a particular condition, but the application got declined immediately because of a medication that the person was on. Had the agent done their due diligence and been more of a field underwriter, they could have gotten that information out and known really not to even write that product. They would have had to make a shift to a different product, okay? And so as a field underwriter, you know, you guys have to get good when you're in the home at asking all of the questions. What medications are you currently on? Has there been anything in the last 5 years? Diabetes, blood pressure, you know, heart conditions, anything and everything, right? So don't just use, the bottom line is don't just use the application to know whether or not, to teach or tell you whether or not someone is going to be approved by a certain product, okay? I always kind of look at it, Casey, is that when you're a field underwriter, you're almost like a good quarterback, like a professional quarterback. And a quarterback's job is when they're running a pass play to scan the field and kind of check down to find the open receiver, right? In this situation, the underwriters or the different carriers are your receivers, and you're checking down based on the client's health to who you're going to place that product with, okay? Really three. Guys, you can get away with three main carriers in our company and with our business. The first one, we love American Amicable. The second one, we love and do not see nearly enough Mutual of Omaha. And the third one is UHL. I think UHL has some products that if you're not utilizing as an agent, you are completely missing the boat and losing a lot of money and leaving a lot of money on the table. And I want to kind of go into those main carriers. Another kind of outlying carrier, and guys, always check with your manager first as well. You may be in a state that they don't like a specific carrier, or they may want you to do another carrier. Always check with your growing manager first. But another carrier that is kind of an outlier, Casey, that I use occasionally is Forrester's, but just on the plan right, which is a final expense plan. And the only time I will utilize that product is if they can't fit into a UHL or American Amicable final expense, because the underwriting or the questions may be a little bit different. as a field underwriter, guys, knowing your applications and knowing which carriers accept different things is going to be the key to you getting to a 90% issue rate. Okay? So I want to kind of go into, you know, really focusing on those three main carriers first. And outside of those carriers, guys, it's a very simple business because there's really only four types of products that you're going to write. Now, we're not really talking about the annuity side of the business and that sort of thing. We're really talking about our core business, which is mortgage protection and life insurance with disability riders, that sort of thing. So there's really four types of products that you're going to have to learn and know with the companies. The first one, obviously, is the non-med mortgage protection. That's what most people write through Mutual of Omaha. It's the Term Life Express through American Amicable. Home Protector. There's also the Easy Term through American Amicable. But guys, you're gonna give up some compensation using that Easy Term. Not saying don't use it. Just be prepared to give up, you know, 15 to 20 points. The only time it really comes in handy, Casey, is when you've got maybe an older, I say older, but really between the ages of 40 and 70 year old female. Sometimes you can get a better rate using the Easy Term. It also goes up to age 70. So the only time I find myself writing those products are on, you know, the females that are 40 to 70, and any time I've got somebody between the ages of 65 and 70. I can write fully underwritten term all the way up to age 80, but why would I do that if I've got a non-med product that'll go all the way up to age 70? Okay, so that's when the Easy Term really comes into play. The second group of products outside of the non-med mortgage protection is your final expense plans, which we really utilize with kind of critical period coverage, and we've gone over critical period coverage over the past couple of weeks several times. So those of you that have been tuning in are getting better and better at understanding how to present that and how to write those type cases. For me, I'm going to go with American Amicable because I want to go to Canada and I want to get an iPad. You know, UHL is another great carrier. And again, we said Foresters is kind of an outlier. If you have to put someone into that product, it's got great underwriting. Okay, so those are really the only three carriers that you have to look at. And the thing I love about final expense is the underwriting is a no-brainer. As long as the client is being honest with you, the application, it doesn't get any easier. It's either yes or no. You can fill out the app with the client and know whether or not they're going to qualify right away. That's what I also love about that UHL term product, because I mentioned, you know, non-med mortgage protection being our bread and butter. A lot of you guys are not utilizing that UHL term, which is perfect for people that may fall outside of, you know, an American Amicable Table 4 or a Mutual of Omaha Table 4. And I'll get into some more examples on that. The third type of product that you'll run across, guys, and you're not going to run across it a whole lot, but you have to have it in your bag, is going to be some fully underwritten term. I know managers always kind of cringe when we even talk about it, because a lot of agents are going to go broke trying to write fully underwritten term, saving somebody $15 a month. But they have to jump through a bunch of hoops, get all the blood work, get all the underwriting that goes along with that. But you know what? You got to have it in your bag, because if you're replacing someone's policy or if you have to beat another price, you better believe I'm going to write a fully underwritten term before I leave the house with nothing. Okay? To be honest with you, it may represent 10 to 15% of your business. If it's much more than that, now we say that, and because Fred Hicks was prepared, I think, went out and wrote a fully underwritten term replacing another policy, picked up, was it $10,000 or $15,000 of annual business on one or two applications, okay? But again, it was a replacement-type policy. Fully underwritten term is going to be great also if you have somebody that has maybe a $1 million mortgage. If they're extremely healthy, they're very price-conscious, you may have to go fully underwritten term. But, you know, even if I've got a larger mortgage, I might look at critical period using a non-medical policy, or I may combine several non-med companies into one, okay? So that's an option as well. But, you know, I'm really just talking about, you guys have to understand these products, have them in your bag so that you're ready for them when you come across them. The last one is very simple, just an accidental death policy. And again, I don't think we utilize the accidental death policies that we have nearly enough. I think when you run across clients that they can't qualify due to health, maybe they get a critical period product. I love kind of bridging and getting them more coverage, Casey, using a final expense plan, but then also getting them $100,000 or $200,000 worth of accidental death. You know, I think The Assurity Axiflex is great because it's got the accidental disability as well. Fidelity's got a great accidental product. The good news is Mutual of Omaha, I know we said three carriers, right? Mutual of Omaha is coming out with another AD&D policy. I just heard from Brian last night on that, so it should be coming out over the next month or so. And that's, again, going to limit what carriers and which products that you really need to have in your bag. If you limit yourself down to really three, maybe four carriers, this thing becomes very simple. Okay, I think some of the times the trouble that people get into is when we have so many carriers, guys. We have two or three dozen carriers, and a lot of people come in and want to get contracted with everybody, and you know it's kind of the specialist mentality, right? If you're going to specialize in something, you got to specialize in something. You can't specialize in everything. Kind of takes the meaning of specialization away. But so many people try to know all of the different products back and forth, guys. If you'll study Mutual of Omaha, American Amicable, and UHL. And the beauty of it is if you know AMM and UHL, you know Foresters. You know every final expense carrier. It's a no-brainer. Then you've got everything that you need, okay? So, again, it's being more of a field underwriter while you're in the home to make sure that you're uncovering everything, because the worst thing that you can do, guys, is not get all of the correct information. See, you're in today's world with the MIB, with the prescription checks, with everything, the APSs, non-med products, you can't just go in and allow a client to lie to you and not give you all the information in hopes that the policy will get issued or approved. It doesn't work that way. As a field underwriter, your job is to give the insurance company more information, give them all information. So in other words, when I'm writing an American Amicable policy and somebody tells me that they have blood pressure medication, I'm going to get the name of the medication that they have. I'm going to get when the last time they saw a doctor was, I'm going to get what their average readings are, the dosage on the medication, I'm going to put when it was diagnosed, I'm going to give every bit of information, because my number one goal as a field underwriter is to try to prevent more underwriting from the insurance company. Let me clarify what I mean by that. I don't want the insurance company to have to go get an APS or a physician statement, because I don't want this thing to drag on for 6 or 7 weeks before it gets approved. Okay, so if I give them all the correct information on the front end, they won't have to do that, right? So a lot of times as a new agent, you'll get a call saying, I don't understand why my stuff is log jamming up in Mutual of Omaha or with American Amicable. I submitted 10 policies. Only one of them's come through. Well, the bottom line is, guys, is they don't have enough information to issue the case. We've seen a lot of agents go out as well and write a bunch of American Amicable or write a bunch of another carrier, and there was a phone interview requirement, and the phone interview didn't get done. If there's ever a phone interview requirement, I'm getting that done point of sale. If it's easy term, if it's home protector, a lot of the final expense are mandatory that you do point of sale. But if there's any type of phone interview, the last thing I want to do is leave that house with any type of requirement that has to be met. Why? Several reasons. Number one, it's going to drag on forever if you don't get it. And number two, there's no telling who the person that's doing the phone interview on the other line, there's no telling how they're going to handle your client or how your client's going to handle them, right? So I want to be there to diffuse if my client gets upset, if the phone interview person is having a rough day and they were short with them, whatever the case may be. I need my client to know that that's not the insurance company, that's not me, that's a third party that is just not doing the job very well. Right, so I want to be there and get all those things done. When you guys get to where you're getting all of your apps, all of your paperwork, your forms, your phone interviews, everything point of sale, American Amicable will start issuing your policies if they're clean, if it's the right fit. They're going to issue that stuff, guys, in 3 to 4 days. And if they're not, my job is as soon as that policy shows up on the on my underwriting screen at American Amicable, if there's no requirements outstanding, I'm going to be on the phone with American Amicable, and I'm going to be extremely polite, courteous, nice, whatever we have to do to get this thing pushed over to underwriting. Okay? Again, part of your job is to write the business. Your most important part as a writer, as an agent, is to get it approved. And so the guys that are on the phone every single morning looking at their pending reports, their pending requirements from each of the carriers and getting stuff pushed through, those are going to be the guys that don't have cash flow problems, okay? And let's face it, guys, If it's taking you an average of 4 or 5 weeks to get a policy approved, you're going to struggle. And more importantly, your clients, you're going to have a lot of clients that may fall off the books because of that. Okay. So one of the things that I said earlier in the call that I love is how, you know, a lot of the managers will have their brand new agents kind of call from the kitchen table to look at different underwriting scenarios. I love that because you're working with a manager who's been doing this for a longer time. They can tell you where to start pushing different cases. Again, the last thing I want to do is put somebody in the wrong case, because if they get declined, that's going to limit what I can go back out and write them the second time around. I can't go out and write UHL term if I've gotten someone declined first by AmAm or Mutual of Omaha. It doesn't work that way, because one of the questions on the application is, have you been declined, right? I think where it starts for all of you guys that are wanting to kind of, maybe you're brand new or you're just getting ready, it starts by looking at each company and the underwriting guides that they offer you on their websites, okay? For example, American Amicable has a great underwriting guide for their home protector and their easy term. So it is very specific on ailments. You just look up the ailment, and it's going to say accept or reject or accept or decline. Right, so a great example is I'm sitting with a client, I'm a brand new agent, I'm sitting with someone and it turns out that they have insulin-dependent diabetes. Am I going to be able to submit that and get it approved through a non-med carrier? Probably not. The answer is definitely not if you're talking American Amicable or ING, and I'm pretty sure Mutual of Omaha on a non-med basis will decline that as well. Okay. Type 2 diabetes, if I look at the underwriting guide, okay, I see that Mutual of Omaha will accept type 2, meaning pill form diabetes, as long as it was diagnosed after age 50. So if the client was diagnosed after age 50, I'm going to send that in. If the client was diagnosed prior to age 50 on type 2 diabetes, I'm not going to send it in because it's a simple reject. All right, so know your underwriting guides. Save them to your desktop so when you're in front of a client, you can reference those. All right, blood pressure. Blood pressure is, and medications is typically not going to be a decline on some of these carriers, but a little caveat is that if they're taking more than two, so three or more blood pressure medications, that's going to be a decline because it says that it's out of control. American Amicable Mutual of Omaha are going to decline those cases. Okay, so again, download, save to your computer so that you can reference these underwriting guides when you get off the phone today. Pull those up, highlight them, study them, and you'll have a much better understanding of what you can send through and what you cannot. Okay. Now, using those two examples that I just used, using insulin-dependent diabetes, using three blood pressure medications, using type 2 diabetes, I'm not going to be able to place some of those with American Amicable or Mutual of Omaha, right? That's when I'm going to check down to UHL. The thing I love about the UHL application, guys, is it's a term product, but it's a final expense app. It's a yes or no. As long as the client's being honest with you, then you're going to get that pushed through. Let me give you a great example. Last week I went out, I sat with a client who had a couple of policies through another insurance company, and they were terribly priced. And as I started doing some field underwriting and asking her, more about her medical situation, I realized that she had type 2 diabetes, typically not a problem. However, she's 33 years old and was diagnosed at age 30. All right, Mutual of Omaha is going to knock it out because prior to age 50. American Amicable is going to knock it out because prior to age 40. Okay, UHL term, it does not ask the question. Got it over to them right away. They issued the policy within a matter of 2 to 3 days, already been paid. Was able to get her $200,000 of 30-year coverage with return of premium for less than what she was paying for $50,000 with another carrier, because the other carrier underwrote that policy differently. Okay, so utilize that UHL product, guys. That's a great check down, and the underwriting requirements, very simple, yes or no. Now, two of the underwriting requirements that you have to look at with UHL, which is why we can't go back in and write it after we've had someone declined, is they ask the question, has this person been declined over the last 2 years? The second question is, are they currently on disability? Either of those are answered yes, we don't have the product. OK? okay? So understand that UHL product, guys. It can make you a ton of sales, all right? Another great example, using the examples we used earlier, was blood pressure medication. Fly it through, right, with UHL, if it's more than two even. Insulin-dependent diabetes. I can get up to $50,000 of term coverage for 20 years on that. Can't get that anywhere else, and it's non-med, all right? So, guys, as a field underwriter, the first thing we want you to do is, you know, get into the habit of calling underwriting. You know, we mentioned calling your manager. That's important. Get in the habit of calling underwriting and asking them, but always be careful because an underwriter is going to tell you, hey, send it right on in. Let's do fully underwritten, rated to table six. We may get APSs. We may do all this. Don't do that as a first option because I will tell you 9 times out of 10, that's going to come back as a decline. I don't care what the underwriter tells you. Yes, they'll look at it, but as soon as they start going fully underwritten and getting medical records, it's almost like they're looking for a reason not to take that policy. All right? So what I would advise you to do is get them into a UHL, get them into something that's good. You know, 90 days from now, hey, if they want to try to go the fully underwritten route, I'll help you do that. We can do that. That's not a problem because at that point, we don't have anything to lose. All right? So, again, look at the underwriting guide. It's going to tell you more than you need to know in most situations. Let me see my notes here, Case, man. We mentioned earlier just as a field underwriter, your job is, you know, really getting all the information out. A couple of ways that you can do that. The way that I always ask that question when I'm in the house is I let everyone know, hey, I'm a broker. As a broker, you know, I want you to know that my job is, number one, to get you what you can get, and number two, to find that at the best price. All right? I'm not doing you service if I just put you into a product that's going to come back as declined. All right? I've got 2 or 3 dozen companies here. They're all very similar. I'm going to need to get some health information from you to see what's going to be the best fit. I love getting all of the health information. Obviously, guys, you got to get all the health information before you start going through quotes. Last thing you want to do is an ailment comes up when you're halfway through an application. And buddy, let me tell you, that's happened to me a couple of times. I learned that lesson the hard way, and most people have to, but the last place you want to find out that someone had a heart attack 5 years ago is when you're all the way through the application to the health questions and it comes up. All right, try to shift gears at that point and put somebody into a critical period. Ain't going to happen. Okay? So the first thing I'm doing into the house after I've, you know, kind of built some rapport and kind of warmed up to them a good bit is I'm getting into that field underwriting, and I'm getting as much information as I possibly can because that's what's going to tell me what I'm quoting each individual, okay? So, again, your first job as a broker is to get them what you can get them, and the second, then we're going to get that at the best price, all right? I want every medication that they're taking, and I want every medication they've taken really over the past 7 or 8 years. I don't care how simple it may seem to them. I want to know every bit of it, all right? Because I'm going to tell you, folks, on this application or on most of these the lead, it says with no physical exam. You're going to get people that think that they can get you into the house and they can give you just enough information to get the coverage. It doesn't work that way, and so it's my job to let them know that it doesn't work that way. All right? Casey, you do a really good job of that as well, you know, kind of letting them know, hey, that you're here to work with them. Anything that they tell you is going to be used to get them a policy.
I just help them. Yeah, Brandon. I basically, you know, I say I'm not here as the insurance company. I'm here to help you. So any information you guys give me, I don't use it against you. I use it to help you get coverage. So don't hold anything back. And I like how you talked about medications because that's one of the things that I always make sure are out. Let's go ahead, and I like people to get to do things for me anyways because it's part of my posture in the home. I like to have control, and so let's get up and get those medications. I need to have them all in front of me so we can get the proper spellings and the milligrams. Also, assumptive because we're already talking about writing applications and stuff. So medications are huge. Another thing that because once you get medications, Brandon, you know you kind of got a good glimpse of probably most, if not all, of their health problems. There's still need for more questions, but also, like, especially in that real good situation where you know you're going to be able to help them with something and they're in good health and everything. Also, you know, any past history, criminal history, DUIs, DWIs, anything like that, because sometimes you'll get in the middle of an application that'll throw you a loop.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to be careful with that. But I like where you're going. I think ARC as a company, and I hate to butt in here, Brandon, but as a company, our issue rates would be 20 to 30% better if just standard protocol, standard procedure was if you're in your first 60 days, as soon as you get your appointments booked, get on the phone with your mentor, your upline, and say, I got six appointments. Here's this one, this one, this one, and this one. This guy's 50 years old. This guy's 60 years old. This guy's whatever. Just because you already, from the lead, you know their age and you know their mortgage amount. Get a plan A and a plan B down before you go in the home. I mean, Edderell's agency has top issue rates, and that's what they do, is especially for the first few appointments. Plan A is American Amicable Home Protector. Plan B, if the health is not there, is this, but call me first just in case. Don't worry about losing credibility in the home. I'm the chief underwriter. You're the field underwriter. So I got to jump off real quick. I need to talk to the chief underwriter. Hey, Ed, sitting here with a couple out in Swannanoa, great couple, John and Mary. But just that two little protocol, two little procedures, if you're in your first 60 to 90 days even, is just to get a good game plan before you go in the home on plan A and plan B, and then in the home, make that call if it doesn't fit in plan A. Like if it's not a simple deal and they throw you a couple curveballs with medications, then just pick, and it doesn't take you but 10, 15, 20 appointments to where you start to learn this stuff, because there's probably some people on the call, if you're anything like me, I had trouble with getting online and just reading a product, especially when I was brand new, reading a underwriting guideline. You know, so just to have somebody to talk to, I think that would increase issue rates by 20, 30%, Brandon.
Absolutely.
Easily.
You know, I love what you're saying about getting people to just follow up and ask call their underwriters, call their managers, because that's the key. And I tell you, one key to remember, guys, is that the people that have the health challenges, clients that may not be quite as healthy as they'd like to be, those are always going to be the easiest ones to write. Casey, we make a killing helping those people. The problem is if you're putting them in the wrong product, they're just like everyone else. If they get declined, they're going to shut down a lot of times,
yep.
Right? So understanding where to place those clients is key. Understanding critical period concept coverage, understanding how the UHL products work, all of that is critical. All right, so that's where I would put the majority of my focus when I'm learning this stuff over the next, you know, 2 to 3 days, really diving into it, is look at the three carriers we've talked about, look at their underwriting guides, look at their application, and you will learn more in the 2 or 3 hours that you spend doing that than you could ever imagine, right? But it's really capitalizing, Casey, I think, on the market that's out there right now, which is we're getting a lot of people that finance loans that may be over the age of 70, or maybe they're not quite as healthy as they would like to be. Right, so where are we placing those? We can't throw everybody at American Amicable and then get disgusted at them because they're not issuing the business. Even worse, we can't do, you know, a half-assed job, excuse my language, of field underwriting, give them minimal information on the application, and then get mad at American Amicable for not issuing the policy or not doing it fast enough, right? So that's our job. Give them every bit of information, and then when you know that you've given them every bit of information on the application, then at that point we can call up underwriting and we can see what we need to do to kind of help get some stuff pushed through. I think one of the most important things, Casey, that you and I have implemented over the past 6 months to a year on from our personal production standpoint is just a simple spreadsheet that we use every single week with all of our personal business. We're going to have this spreadsheet up on the website next week when Gene gets back from vacation. But, guys, it's extremely simple. I've got a spreadsheet that all it says is client name, product type, APV, amount, like amount of coverage, you know, what type of premium or check. Was it a check? Was it a credit card? What was it? What the status is, when the date was sent, and then I've got a notes section. And, for example, I've got right now, over the past 2.5 weeks, about 25, and this hasn't been updated, so actually it's about 18, it looks like, policies out there that are still pending that need something. Okay, every single day, Meredith is on the phone with an underwriter asking, or at least on the internet, looking at the website, what's going on with this, what's going on with that, is there an APS outstanding, what's outstanding with it. I'm looking at that stuff, or we're looking at that stuff every single day to get stuff pushed through. And going into the conference that we had in January, I went over some product training and placement training, and at that point, the last 40 applications that I'd submitted, 37 of them had been approved. One had been declined, and two had changed their mind. And I'm not bragging on me for doing such a good job. It's because I've been doing it a long time, and I understand how to do it. But it's also because I put my focus on getting these people covered. All right? And again, guys, there's nothing more frustrating than going out and doing all the work and then not seeing the fruit of your labor. All right? So I think it starts with, you know, creating you a little spreadsheet and being able to look at what's out there, what you have on the books, and what you have pending every single week. So in my spreadsheet, as soon as something is approved, I move it over to the next sheet. Okay, so all I'm looking at on a weekly basis is every product every policy that I've written that has not been approved yet. And it lets me know if I need to contact a client, if I need to email a client, if I need to contact an underwriter. If I ever need to contact an underwriter, you better believe that I'm going to be the nicest, most polite and courteous person they've ever talked with, right? Because I am not going to get anywhere by being rude to the underwriter or a service person at the carrier. And you'd be surprised how many times you can get a decision overturned if you handle it the right way. All right, so let's say that I get someone declined, Casey, and it's just because they had some blood pressure medication and saw a doctor 13, 14 months ago. Kind of a crazy reason to decline. I'm going to be on the phone with that underwriter and say, hey, you know, what's going on here? You know, what do we need to do? What can we do to get this decision reversed? Sometimes they're going to say nothing. The client lied to you. Sometimes they won't say anything. But I want to try to get as much information on why there was a declination as I possibly can, because I need to know what I can go back out and try to rewrite.
Exactly.
Those people.
And you need to be talking to an underwriter.
Yep.
With the company, not underwriting department. There's a difference.
Right.
You need an actual
exactly
underwriter
right.
on the phone to get details. MM is usually pretty good about that. Like, they'll say, well, yeah, everything was good, but something came up in the MIB, and just trust us, it's not going to go through. Like, they'll say stuff like that, and, you know, it'll give you a little bit of idea if it's close or not. But I think that relationship, just like anything in business, relationships are everything, and your name is everything, guys. And you have to be very careful with underwriting, not only in how you deal with them verbally and how you communicate with them, and how maybe if you, same thing with the office here, like how you email. We were just talking about that. There's some agents that with the company Brandon that the office just don't really like because they're real snappy and quick with their emails. And it's like, not that these girls and guys play favorites, but guys, you play favorites like we do. Like, so who says that these guys don't? Who says the underwriters don't? So when you're quick and mean to them, they remember that stuff. And remember, especially with most of these carriers, your business is generally underwritten by the same 1 to 2 underwriters. So if you're sending in 3 or 4 pieces a week, they start to see your name. So
yeah.
When they see that application come across their desk, what does that name mean to them? That's what I'm always thinking about, Brandon. When they see Casey Watkins at the top of that app,
yep.
There's a knee-jerk there that's going to happen when it comes to relationships. There's, especially with an underwriter, they're going to say, this is the type of business he sends, or this is the type of business he sends. And if you're the type agent that has sloppy handwriting and
uh-oh.
That sends in junk and doesn't give enough detail and has tried to pull one over on them a couple times by leaving something off the application that's supposed to be there, then you think you may have won, but in the end, in the long run, you really lost, because they may have issued that policy and then found out something after the fact, or they may have not issued the policy and you lost there too, but you're going to lose in the long run. I want the underwriters to say, Casey writes good business. Everything he sends us pretty much gets issued. He knows what to write. I think before they ever look at my client, I want them to look at my name, and I want them to think something.
Yeah. It's got to be easy on their eyes. You said it. Why not take the time to write as neatly as possible on your application? I write it just like I'm writing a check. What if I wrote myself a check, took it to the bank, and the bank couldn't read it? They going to give me any money? You know, it sounds stupid, but guys will write like chicken scratch all over their application and then get frustrated when it sits there and pending. Well, I'll tell you guys, it's sitting there and pending because an underwriter probably put it at the bottom of his stack and didn't want to deal with it. Underwriters are just like everybody else, right?
Yep.
I remember Cameron Ball said one time, I want them to get a stack of applications and be looking for mine because they know those are the ones they can get out the quickest.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the way it should be, guys. Take pride in your work. Do it the right way. And it, again, if you're going to do it, don't do it half-assed. Do it all the way and get paid on it, right? Utilize UHL. One more thing, one more point is, Casey, when I'm leaving the house, there's something that I always say, and it is, guys, remember, I'm not the insurance company. I'm not the underwriter. If they don't accept this application, please don't make me the bad guy. I'll be right back out, and we'll get something for you with a different company, okay? I always want to leave the door open to give them a call back. I don't care if they're a marathon runner and as healthy as I've ever seen. I also want to take it away from them a little bit. Right, Casey? That's kind of the psychology. It's more than just leaving the door open so that I can come back in and rewrite them. It's also taking it away from them a little bit that, hey, not everybody gets these things.
Yep.
Not everybody gets a policy exactly as they want. Had a situation where I wrote a guy a disability plan the other day, and it was one of those axiflexes. He was a government employee. We wrote him up for $1,800 a disability. I'm a bonehead. Didn't realize that because he's a government employee, he can only qualify for $1,000 with a surety. You know? But because I had a good relationship with the guy, I called back up and I said, man, I apologize. You know, you're a government employee. I didn't know it. I made a mistake. The guy's fine. Took it. Not a big deal. But it's all about leaving that door open and kind of setting that expectation, because before I left, I told that guy, listen, if it comes back any differently than what we are sending it in for, don't make me the bad guy. We'll get it taken care of. And because I did that, it was an easy, easy fix. And that's happened several times over the years. So always try to slip that in at the end of every appointment, along with the four R's and everything else that you're doing. Case, anything I'm forgetting? Anything I'm leaving off? You know, I know that we've covered a lot of information on this, and we'll continue to cover a lot more. But you know, I think if there's one thing I want everybody to kind of get out of this call and take away from it is, you know, understanding what your job and what your role really is in this whole process. It's not just about slinging applications. It's not just about writing clients. If you're the type of agent that is getting more people declined, then you're actually a much more of a liability to the insurance company, and they don't need you, okay?
Yep.
So if you're getting less than 50% of your business or less than, I would say, even 60% of your business approved, I would be very careful. Because eventually you're going to have an insurance company that says, you know what, we're not going to take any more of it. Sorry. Because if
most of these insurance companies, it costs them $200 to $300 per application to underwrite. Whether or not they approve it or decline it, it costs them money.
Well, and if they're catching 50% that they're declining, what does that tell them about some of the ones that are slipping through?
Exactly.
Right. So, guys, embrace, we say it all the time, it's part of the blueprint for success, but embrace the toughness. The market right now is simpler and easier to deal with than we've ever seen, but that's only if you're the right person. Embrace the fact that some of the folks that I'm going to call are going to be over the age of 70. Some of the folks I'm going to call are going to have had heart attacks 5 years ago. I can either be upset about that, or I can go out and write them the right product, because most agents out there don't have the right product, all right? So, again, understanding your role as a field underwriter is key to you getting all this, you know, 90% of your business approved, and utilizing the products that we have out there. I think we don't see nearly enough critical period coverage policies, and I don't think we see nearly enough UHL policies, and I don't think we see anywhere nearly enough accidental death policies. Before I leave the house, I'm at least going to show them an accidental death policy. If they were expecting something that was 1995 because one of the lead formats says 1995, and I get down and they shut down on me because I'm showing them $50 a month you better believe I'm going to walk out with a $20 a month accidental death policy if it's all I can get. It's crazy, Casey. I think I've written, I was telling you the other day, I've written like six or seven of them over the past two or three weeks, and the beauty of it is every single one of them get declined. I mean, get approved.
Yep.
Not declined. That's a big difference. Every single one of them get approved.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that we go out and we start showing everybody accidental death, right? Just like I'm not saying we're not going out and showing everybody fully underwritten because it's the cheapest thing. No. We're going to check down. Remember, you're a quarterback. I'm checking down to whatever I have to check down to in the home. The first thing I'm showing them, Casey, is that home protector or that Mutual of Omaha, and it's going to have, you know, disability and critical illness and return of premium, and it may be $700 a month. But by the time I'm finished, when I walk out with a $100 home protector app, I know I've done my job right. Or by the time I'm finished, if I have to walk out with an accidental death plan or a Mutual of Omaha fully underwritten because I'm replacing some coverage that they have, then I'll do that too. If I go through the whole process and they're not budging, just more expensive than they were thinking, they're not interested, you better believe I'm going to get their current policies out on the table so we can review them and try to do a replacement. Happened just last night, you know.
Yep.
They had a policy, showed them American Amicable. It was different than what they were thinking, a little bit more than they were wanting to spend. Got them to pull out their current life policies, ended up writing two ING HomeGuard Plus Selects with return of premium, loaded them up, $150 in premium a month.
Yep.
You know, so check down, guys. Don't walk out of the house with nothing, right? Start off with the bread and butter, the mortgage protection. Start off with the underwriting questions the right way, obviously, and then we go from there.